this is my weekly podcast, Adventures with Postpartum Depression, a show dedicated to sharing stories and spreading awareness about maternal mood disorders. For show notes and more information, please go to my website, ppdadventures.com. There's also a Facebook page, facebook.com/ppdadventures. And now, on to the show. Hello, adventurers. This is episode 56, and this is slightly, completely unorthodox, but I am recording this intro directly onto my laptop without my fancy microphone while sitting in my parked vehicle while Julian naps. I don't think the microphone's going to pick it up, but he is breathing heavily in the backyard. We had a wonderful day so far after dropping Pippa off preschool. First off, we had such a good morning today because I got so much stuff ready last night. I even packed Pippa's preschool lunch and I got all of the diaper bag packed and stuff for swim lessons packed. So this morning was just such a leisurely, beautiful morning. I really hope I can keep that up. It just made for such a more pleasant day. If you hear a slight white noise in the background, that's the car engine because I don't mean to brag, but it's early February and it's like 80 degrees in Pasadena. Absolutely glorious weather here. I'm so lucky to live where I live. But you know, after the Vivian episode with the shit show that was the leaf blower, I think we can all handle the slight hum of my car engine, because if I turn off the engine, I'm afraid my poor boy will overheat. He's in his car seat. Anyway, we had such a great morning swimming and he now takes a private lesson. My kids are mermaids. They need the lessons. And I was able to swim laps while he was doing his lesson and got some really good cardio. And I'm feeling really good today after 2.5 or really a 48 hours of hell. Oh, and this is, those of you who follow me on Instagram might have already seen this, but I had some horrifying PMS. And it's really the second time I've had bad PMS. And, you know, I did some thinking and realized it has been 5.5 years. In the past 5.5 years, I was either pregnant or on Zoloft. And, like, welcome back to PMS, I guess. Except, no. Like, I'm older now, and I'm 39, and I'm doing some reading, and I think I'm in premenopause. Okay, so there's menopause. There's perimenopause, which is, like, the year or two before menopause. And then there's premenopause, which can go on for 10, 15 years before peri and actual menopause. And I'm there. I'm pretty sure I'm there. And I'm doing a lot of reading and figuring out different strategies that I could come up with to improve my health. Because I don't want to just like lay down and be like, well, I guess I'm going to just be miserable for 48 hours every month. Because I was irritable. It wasn't just cranky. It was just like a loss of patience. And I've been doing a lot of meditation and a lot of soul searching and really making progress on the front of like being mindful and present with my children and realizing that when I scream at them, the only thing I accomplish is making everyone feel worse. So I haven't been screaming, but my God, like the past 2 days, like those 48 hours, it just took every fiber of my soul to be good, to not like rip someone's head off. At the moment Nathan got home from, it started like late Friday afternoon. The moment Nathan got home from work, I had to like retreat to the bedroom and close the door and just lay in bed and read and be exhausted. And then Saturday I had enough in me to go out with Pippa, but you know, I went to the gym in the morning and normally that would just give me all sorts of good feelings. And it like really barely made a dent in just like how bitchy and like I felt the anxiety rushing through me and trying to explain it to Nathan. And I do have to say, I don't want to live this way, but having this experience gave me a lot, like renewed my sense of empathy for everyone struggling with their postpartum period, it was a really good reminder of what physical anxiety felt like, because I wasn't anxious about anything in particular, but I just had that gross, icky, skin crawling, adrenaline rushing feeling. But yesterday was Sunday, Super Bowl Sunday, and I started to come out of it. And by the end of the day, I felt like myself. Last night, I slept in the guest room again. I've been sleeping in the guest room the past few nights just because I was so, had such an edgy feeling that I knew that like if Nathan just breathed in his sleep, which he's been known to breathe while he's sleeping. Poor man is, you know, it's 8 hours. He can't just take one breath and sleep through the night. But if he so much as breathed, I would have been like, what the fuck are you doing? So we just simplified things, and I started the night in the guest room for the past 3 nights. And last night, oh my god, I was up at 4:30 and couldn't get back to sleep. And that also always happens where I have one bad night of insomnia. So I am reading up on premenopause. I have a lot of ideas. A lot of things I've started with is, like, as of today, I'm off sugar. And I put a letter to sugar on my blog. It's our breakup letter. And I'll keep you posted, but this is something I've always known, that sugar is my devil. And, I mean, I just have to, this really just has to end, because I know it's keeping me overweight, giving me cravings, giving me fake energy, that it's, and just from the book I've been reading, let me find the book. It's called What Your Doctor May Not Tell You About Premenopause. What Your Doctor May Not Tell You About Premenopause, Balance Your Hormones and Your Life from 30 to 50. And it's by Dr. John Lee, Dr. Jesse Hanley, and Virginia Hopkins. And oh my god, it's just teaching me so much. And it has a lot of information about natural progesterone. I don't know if I pronounced that right, but I'm like 99% certain I'm going to be starting a progesterone cream. They recommend, if you have PMS, starting it on like day 10 or 12 of your cycle. And so I'm on day 28. So as soon as I get this period, I am going to just start counting down, and I'm going to get myself the cream. And it can take a couple months to like really help, but I can start the elimination of sugar right now. So I'm going to be making a lot of changes, because I'm not, you know, postpartum depression the first time around destroyed me. I am not letting the changes of my, I am going to be in harmony with my hormones. I want my hormones to be my ally. They are mine. Sugar, though, sugar's not mine. Sugar's a fucking bitch asshole. And sugar destroys me. So we are over, and me and my hormones are making up, and we're going to fall back in love again, and we're going to find a way to work things out. Sugar, though, you know, go read the letter if you're interested. Anyway, today we have a wonderful episode with Nikki Reeves, a mom in Atlanta, Georgia, who is leading a team for the Climb Out of the Darkness in an event that raises awareness and raises funds for Postpartum Support International. I'm leading a team in LA, so it's exciting to have a fellow leader on the show today and get you excited about the hike and see if there's, maybe if you're in the Atlanta area, I hope you join her, or maybe consider leading your own team. And Nikki talks about her experiences with postpartum depression and anxiety. And one of the things I love about her story is that her really, I'm searching for the word. She didn't get help until her second child was 10 months old, which I think is really helpful for a lot of moms out there, because postpartum depression and anxiety, it doesn't necessarily happen with the first child. And I think some people can feel like, well, it didn't happen with my first, so why is it happening now? Or maybe there was, you know, a smidge of something going on with the first, and it's just great to see a different perspective and a different journey. It's, you know, she kept saying things where I was like, amen, or, you know, like, I can totally relate. And yet we have very, our journeys, my journey and Nikki's journey, you know, as similar as they were also very different. So that's why I love having you guys on the show. And for those of you listening who are new, you can head over to ppdadventures.com for the show notes for this episode, or for show notes for most of the past episodes. And if you are interested, if you're inspired by hearing Nikki's story that you want to share your story, please email me, Courtney@ppdadventures.com. I love just getting all these stories out there. I think it is so cathartic for the moms listening, and I think it's really cathartic, or it's inspiring for the moms out there who are listening to realize that they're not alone. And I think it's really cathartic for the storytellers, because for me, telling my story has been such a huge part of my recovery. And if it could be part of your recovery, then I would like to facilitate that for you. All right, I'm going to turn things over to Nikki, and I'll see you on the other side. Hi, Nikki. Thanks for coming on the show today.
Thanks for having me. I'm excited.
Yeah, I know you're a leader for Climb Out of Darkness, and
yes,
you also have your own personal story to share. So why don't we start with the personal story?
Okay.
Where's the best place to start? Does it start, how many children do you have?
I have two boys.
And did you have postpartum depression, anxiety?
It started with the first one. It was just anxiety. And I just thought it was normal, you know, anxiety. I have a history of, you know, anxiety as a child and in high school. But, are you there? Can you hear me?
I am there, and I always write notes as we talk because I like to remember the stories. And I like to write show notes because people listen to this and some moms, you know, we're moms. You go brain dead. Yeah. And you're like, wait, what did I hear? What did Nikki say? And so I gotta write notes.
Definitely a symptom, the brain fog.
Oh my gosh, brain fog. It's like we all get it, but it's a question of degree.
Uh-huh.
What's your dog's name since he's gonna be part of the interview?
Annie. Yeah, Annie.
Hi, Annie. Okay, so you had the anxiety with your first, and was that something that had to get treated, or was it just something that...
I didn't think it was a problem. I thought it was just kind of like, oh, this is what motherhood is. It's just stressful and exhausting, and I just pushed through, and I wish I didn't, but in hindsight, you know, it got worse with the second, and... that's when I got help, but he was almost a year before I just couldn't take it anymore. I think in January 2017 is when I said I, you know, cannot have another year like this. I've got to do something.
And how old were the boys? So your second would have been about one at that time?
Yes, he was like 10 months. And then my other was, like, 2.5.
Okay, so you're in the trenches.
Oh, it was tough. Going to 2 was really hard. I felt like I couldn't go anywhere. Like, I felt, like, impending danger, like, constantly. Like, I just, you know, living on eggshells. Because something, like, horrific was going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
And, that's when the depression started. When I was... became so isolated and so lonely and so just precautious. I didn't feel safe anywhere, and I didn't have any time for self-care because I didn't trust anyone except for myself. I thought I had to do it all, and I wore myself too thin, and I'm glad I got help when I did because I don't know what would have happened.
So what did getting help look like for you?
Well, I called my gynecologist, and so they wanted to prescribe something, but they wouldn't until I saw a therapist. So I was really nervous about that. I've never, you know, I've had been to counseling before, but I was just, my main worry was having my kids taken. And, you know, I mean, I was just so scared to admit any of the feelings I was having. And the shame and guilt.
And... Well, yeah, and I know this has got to be on a lot of moms' minds right now because there's that story that's gone viral about...
Yes, I hate that, Jessica.
Yeah, I'm heartbroken for her. I'm so inspired by, like that she's sharing her story and using
Absolutely.
It as a catalyst for change, but it's just... ridiculous that the year is 2018 and this sort of crap is still happening to moms.
Well, and I was hesitant to post on my support group page because I think it is a common concern that something like that happening, or, you know, your children being at risk of being taken away, or, you know, that is a common concern, and you don't want to, you know, trigger moms who haven't gotten help yet.
Right.
So.
Yeah, I'm always worried about the trigger effect, but I'm also worried that if we give too much credence to the trigger, that we bury these stories that are so important that we should be getting angry about and we should be getting fired up about. And
true.
That we need the... It's a balancing act. Like, I'll put trigger warnings in my episodes coming up because I just keep mentioning Jessica and I... But, you know, they didn't take her kids away. They sent her... to the ER, is my understanding.
Okay.
And she was not treated with respect and not even given the medications she needed. But you know, I want to tell moms when they come to me, like, yeah, you shouldn't be scared of the police taking your kids. But then mm-hmm. stuff like this happens, and it's like, mm-hmm. gosh, there's still so much work for us to do.
Mm-hmm.
So you saw a therapist. How long did that take to get to see the therapist?
I think I got in pretty quickly. My gynecologist referred me somewhere, and I think I went twice a month for several months until I really started feeling like myself again and was stable on my medication. And I had kind of a little bit of a relapse, like towards the holidays, you know, towards the winter time, I just get stressed out. And so I ended up going back to therapy for a little bit, and they adjusted my medications, and I'm doing really great now. But it's hard to have a setback when you're, you know, you feel like you should be recovered, or you thought you were, you know. But,
oh, yeah, absolutely. I had a mini relapse when I was recovering, where I tried to wean off my medications too early.
Yeah.
I think it's a common... I think we're kind of expect ourselves... We're moms. We expect ourselves to do it all. And when we get something like this, we kind of are like, I have to get over this as quickly as possible.
Mm-hmm.
When I had a guest on the show over a year ago, Tyler, whose wife had postpartum psychosis, and he said, you have to treat it like she broke her back. And it's going to be a long recovery. And that's the message I keep trying to get across. Like,
mm-hmm.
oh, it's so...
There should be a rush on it.
Yeah. But it's so hard. You're taking care of two little babies. And they...
Mm-hmm.
You can't just sit down and say, Mommy has postpartum depression and anxiety.
Yeah.
Can you be a little more understanding today?
Right.
So... You're going to be leading a climb, I understand. Is this your first climb, or?
No, I first participated last year, and I was a leader at Stone Mountain, Georgia.
I have been to Stone Mountain.
Really?
Yes, I have a good friend from college who is from Atlanta, and we went to her house for 4th of July weekend during one summer in college. And she took us to Stone Mountain, and I saw the light show on the side of the mountain. And I hiked to the top of the mountain. I played mini golf at Stone Mountain. I've had the Stone Mountain experience.
Oh, wow. Well, I barely made it up, but it was so symbolic because I struggled and...
Well, I barely made it up, and I was like 20.
Oh, yeah. There was a pregnant mom, and it was a little slippery. It was raining because, you know, you do have to take the weather into consideration. But she was just, you know, going way faster than me, and I was, like, out of breath.
You know, some moms just do not even get affected by pregnancy, and then there's other moms who,
mm-hmm.
it's, like, I had the phlebotomist when I had my, it's the test for the diabetes. When she tested me, she was like, don't you just love being pregnant? I felt the best I've ever had in my life. And I'm like, you're crazy.
Yeah. That's true.
How was your pregnancy? Did you feel like you had depression or anxiety during pregnancy?
Yes. With my second, I was, you know, so sick. I had hyperemesis. And I actually had a Zofran pump inserted in my stomach after a 5-day stay in the high-risk unit. That forcing me to be away from my toddler. That was the first time I had ever been away from him because of my anxiety. I didn't trust me. So that was just in and of itself hard. And then I had to learn to overcome my fear of needles through the stomach that medication pump, and I had to change that like twice a day. So I think looking back, I didn't know. I just thought, oh, well, I'm sick. Of course I'm sad. Like, you know, but that's really, I think when it started, it really, I mean, I couldn't function. It was really, I lost so much weight. I couldn't hold any food down, but, and it lasted almost my whole pregnancy. I only had the pump like 3 months, but, then as soon as I gave birth, I felt better. But it was almost a false reality, though, because I did feel better physically, but emotionally and mentally, I was so overwhelmed.
Of course. Oh, my God. I can't believe... I can't even imagine putting a needle in my stomach once, let alone twice a day.
Oh, it was hard, because I've always had panic attacks just getting basic, like, flu shots and stuff, so it's just so funny what you have to do in certain situations.
And was this with your second? So you had a toddler at home, too?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
You know, and everyone, when I got pregnant with my second, everyone told me, oh, this one's going to be such an easy pregnancy because you're going to be too busy to even feel sick. Like, you're just going to rise above it. And
I wish.
Yeah, like, if your body just wants to feel nauseous all the time and puking all the time, there's no, you can't willpower your way over that.
Yeah. My doctor saw me and she was like, you don't look good, you know, no offense, but you don't look good, you know. And she says, I'm going to be on call this weekend. You know, if you are not better by tomorrow, I'm admitting you. And she had to.
I'm sorry. That's, you know, we talk about traumatic birth experiences and that being a trigger or a risk factor for postpartum depression, but I think any traumatic experience during the pregnancy, too. Did your doctor ever talk to you about maternal mood disorders?
And she, since I have anxiety on my history, my medical history, she, you know, did tell me, you know, we need to really be on careful watch, you know, for your symptoms, make sure you're not getting too anxious or, you know, how your sleep is. And so I knew to be aware, but again, I didn't know what motherhood was. It's so hard to know what normal mom, that was my biggest struggle. I just kept, like, blaming it on, oh, well, this is just, motherhood's just hard. It's mm-hmm. just this hard. It's just, and that was, thinking that there was, I mean, no way out. I mean, it was pretty depressing.
Mm-hmm.
Feeling like that.
How does motherhood feel now that you've been treated and you're feeling better? Does it feel hard in a different way, or?
No. I think I've learned so much. And learn to be real, and that bad moms, you know, good moms don't have to love it all the time, you know, and you can be honest about, like, your feelings, and I think it's good to teach your children, you know, to express themselves and be real about how they're feeling, and so they're comfortable talking to you, and so I just try to, you know, model that for my kids by... just talking about it, because it's healing to talk about it all.
It is. I love sharing stories. The more I talk about it, the better I feel.
Absolutely.
So you run, now I'm getting my names wrong, but you run maternal mental health support.
Yes.
Run.
That was actually part of my recovery. My therapist requested me to try to find, like, some groups to go to, you know, and kind of get mom friends. And there wasn't any in my area. There was some, like, an hour away that I had gone to, and I was like, yeah, this is what I need, you know, but I can't go an hour away. And I had, you know, no mom friends, and then no mom friends that would admit that they were struggling. Everyone was just perfect, and so... that's when I started the group, and it really, I thought online would be the best way to kind of start, and I just invited everyone, because at the very least, I was spreading awareness. If they didn't want to be a part of the group, that's fine, they could leave, but giving them the ability to see just the basics of what is postpartum, you know, and that it can happen, I think that and it is a strength, too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's amazing how advocacy can be part of the recovery.
Absolutely. That's definitely something that has changed. And I'm glad, because I used to be a teacher, and because I do love kids, you know. But I also love working with moms and talking to moms about, you know, their struggle and sharing, you know, my struggle and just being real and feeling to be able to have safe people in your life that you can be honest with about your feelings.
So Maternal Mental Health Support is a group on Facebook, and any moms out there listening can join.
Absolutely. We love it. So we're based in Georgia, and that just means that, like, I do a local, like, mom's night out kind of thing. We do it, like, twice a month, and then we do, like, twice a month play dates, and that's, like, local to the Atlanta, Georgia area. But I would love, you know, anyone in the group to, you know, start their own, you know, because we need a tribe of support and people who get it. And it took a long time to grow, but slowly, I just reached more and more people. I have an Instagram account, Twitter, you know, the more awareness we can get out there, the better. Because I've had people message me that didn't even know that they had something and said, you know, thank you so much. I called my doctor and I'm feeling much better, you know, but I wouldn't have known if you know, you didn't post all this great information. So it's so rewarding for me.
Yeah, well, I do a mom-to-mom support group that meets in person in Pasadena, and you know, the moms can get, you know, teary and grateful, like, thank you for doing this. And I'm always like, you know, this is helping me as much as you, if not more. Just being able to know that, like, there is, like, that this didn't exist when I needed it, but now it does exist. That it's at least there.
Yeah.
Because it was, like, for me, when I, like, your therapist was telling you, my doctors were all telling me, like, you need mom friends, you need to go find people and connect with them. I'm like, where are they? They just don't exist.
That sounds impossible.
Right. And I'd go to mom classes and it was just like, let's talk about butt rash cream. I'm like, I don't need this. I need to talk about, like, how my soul broke during all this. Yes, I should. We do the daytime support group, but I have seen your postings about mom's nights outs, and you inspire me. One of these days, I'm actually going to look at the calendar and pick a day and organize a night out too.
I think it just is a more comfortable environment. We started out doing a library, you know, thing, but you can't advertise. That was a struggle. And then also, you know, just immediately diving into your feelings with strangers. I mean, you know, you need a little introduction. And so I think the comfortable environment is really helpful, and everyone needs that self-care time away from the kids. So
yes.
And you teach them to make that a priority and that not to feel guilty by being there, you know. They need that reinforcement, because even I feel guilty, you know, a lot of the time.
I
try to fight that guilt.
This is one of my self-cares, doing this podcast and just talking to you. This, like, we've been in a sleep regression, and now my daughter is acting out because her brother's getting extra attention, blah, blah, blah. But just talking to you, I suddenly feel, I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm talking to a mom. I feel a little more alive and like me.
Again. Not just mom.
Right. Ready to attack the sleep regression tonight.
Okay.
What does your self-care look like? Which I know it sometimes can feel silly to talk about, but there are moms listening who, you know, when you're in that darkness, you don't even remember what your self-care is.
No, because you lose your hobbies a lot of times. You just stop doing, you know, the things that you enjoy, and you lose yourself. And so you kind of just have to think back to the things that you used to enjoy and kind of adjust them to realistic expectations. You know, I love scrapbooking and crafting. My boys are 4 and 2. They're going to be all up in my business, so I don't want to do that. But I try, you know, to set up a time every day where I can just go, like, make a card or, you know, just create something with my paper. And this gives me a little creativity. It's something visually that I had accomplished for the day. That really helped me, because being a mom, we don't get stickers. We don't get raises. We don't get any recognition. So for me, to have, like, a visual something I've accomplished, even lists and checking off things that I do, that helped me just from a productive standpoint. I struggle with that. I want to be productive and get things done. And Yes. I think it's the perfectionist in me.
I love that. And I love that you took scrapbooking and scaled it down to, like, just accepting sometimes all you're going to do is make a card, not, like, a whole album.
It doesn't have to be a whole hour, like, you know, craft session. I can do it, you know, 2 minutes here, 5 minutes here, you know, maybe 20 minutes during that time, but it adds up, and I think the struggle is just doing it, and because it feels like you're going to be constantly interrupted, you know, but you need that time. It's worth it.
You know, when I'm firing all cylinders and at my best, I usually have my kitchen island cleared and have out some sort of tiny art project, like watercolor, so I can just stop and dip my brush in and do, like, 2 minutes of painting. But I've slacked on that, and I need to bring that back. Because it's, you know, you just, you clear the counter to make waffles 1 weekend, and then you never bring the art supplies out, and then it can feel like such a... like an onerous task, but it's not. It's going to take 1 minute, and if the kids are watching Dora, who cares?
Yes, exactly.
And so, you know, we talked a little about the climb, but let's talk a little more about it. So the climb out of darkness is coming in June, and so you had your first experience last year, but, and why don't you talk, I just love hearing about the climb. So it was, like, just the symbolism of climbing the mountain for you, and...
Yeah, so it's run by Postpartum Support International, and so some states have chapters, like Georgia has a chapter, California has a chapter, but some states don't, but the major purpose of our fundraising and awareness event is to bring families together and to just honor the struggle to overcome perinatal mood and anxiety disorders, and also just to spread prevention, treatment, and awareness about pregnant and childbearing women. And raising funds is always a plus.
Yes. I try to tell people that it's like you do it if you do what you can. And if all you can do is show up, like, that's great. Like, maybe you'll want to raise funds next year or in a couple of years.
Last year, I think we raised $1,300. That was just my team. But for the state of Georgia, there was only two climbs, but we got over $3,000.
That's awesome.
And that was last year, and I think we're on track for 10 climbs in Georgia this year. So I can't imagine how much, you know, awareness we're going to raise and funding.
And you're leading a climb this year? Is it Team Dacula?
It's actually pronounced Dacula.
Dacula.
Dacula. And it's a really great park. It's just, it's a flat paved, like, around a pavilion. So I thought that would be better because it would be able to, for people with medical conditions. I have several friends that just, you know, physically can't climb, and I struggled last year. So I thought that maybe a walk would be more appropriate and, like, be able to apply, you know, to my family, because my family wasn't too excited about a climb. but, you know, it can be a hike, it can be whatever you want. The main thing is it's just an event, you know, to raise awareness, raise money, and share your story. You know, you can have people, you know, speaking, you can have, you know, information out. I mean, it's just a great way to connect and even find mom friends. I mean,
yes, I've got Team LA started, and so far it's me, but I know people who want to sign up. You know, it's just you got to get them to click the link and actually sign up. But I'm excited to just create another way for a community to gather in the LA area.
Yeah. So it occurs in June. Do you know why it occurs in June?
I do, but, you know, why don't you share for the people who don't know yet?
Okay. Well, it is it's located on the longest day of the year in the Northern Hemisphere, the summer solstice. So it's usually around the Saturday near closest to that day. So this year, it's going to be June 23rd, 2018. So mark your calendars. But some people are having climbs on other dates. So if that doesn't work for you, you know, look, there, I'm going to have a link, and y'all can look and see where there's a climb near you, because there's one in Kenya, one in Alaska already. I've seen tons.
Yeah, and there is, I think there's a team couch potato. So if you want to be on a team but not actually walk or hike, and I was couch potato, I did it 1 year, and the next year, I did it the year like when Pippa would have been just one, and then the next year I was pregnant with my second and totally on my back with morning sickness, and I don't think I even managed to walk around the block that day. So team couch potato, if that's what you got to do, then that's what you do.
Mm-hmm.
And we hike around the summer solstice because that's the day that will shed the most light on the darkness of the depression experience. Well, is there anything else we should talk about today before we say goodbye to our listeners?
I did want to mention the warm line number for Postpartum Support International, and it's 1-800-944-4-PPD. And this is not like an emergency line, but this is if you need help finding local resources to get help. And they're very nice. Most of them are survivors, you know, and they will, you know, give you resources to help.
Yeah, that's always a great thing to share. And I've recently learned the difference. Hotline means someone is there ready to answer the phone. And if anyone ever feels...
Hotline is where they get a call back.
Right. You call, you leave your info, and then the person who can connect you to the resources you need is going to call you.
Yes.
Yes, that's wonderful. You know, when... I want to backtrack before you go.
Okay.
How did... I think it's hard for moms to sometimes even realize that what they're feeling is anxious. How did your anxiety feel? Like, for me, there was like a heart racing and the skin crawling and like my stomach twisting. Did you have physical feelings, or do you feel like it was more in your head?
I think it was mainly in my head, but sometimes I would have panic attacks, and that's, I guess, a little bit more severe. But I would usually be able, like, to push through them, I mean, because I was trying to, like, oh, I'm fine, you know? I didn't want to cause attention to it, because I knew it was an abnormal type of worry kind of thing. When I'm at home, I would get irritable, and sometimes rage just over things that don't matter, but just because I'm so exhausted, so overwhelmed, so just stretched thin that I just don't have patience. And immediately when I got on Zoloft, my patience was better. And I mean, I wasn't yelling and I wasn't crying all the time. So there was so much improvement from the medication.
Oh, Zoloft was my magic pill, too.
Oh, good.
How was your sleep? Were you able to sleep, or did the...
I had insomnia, but I didn't know. I didn't know it. I know it sounds so silly, but it was just like, I thought normal mothers just don't sleep, you know? He was feeding every 2 hours, so by the time he got done, I would just have to get up again, so... When you get in that pattern for so long, and I breastfed almost 2 years, and I wish I didn't, because it was too much. It was too much. And he was feeding all night long, and it's a tough one.
It is. There's a lot of pressure to breastfeed, and a lot of emotional, and you know, and for some moms, it's the only connection you feel with your baby. So it's something you need to keep doing. But
Exactly. You don't want to push it too hard because then you feel guilty for not. But it can be very beneficial, a bond. Because I did feel that. And I was ready to wean my second, but my first I was not. And I did, that was during all my sickness. So I think that had to do with it.
So looking back, do you think you were depressed at all with your first child, or do you think it really was more like a snowball that kept turning into an avalanche by the time you got to your second?
Yeah, I think it just was getting, untreated, it's not going to get better, and it did, it got worse, and it was exacerbated by life events. I know that that can definitely make things worse, lack of sleep makes it worse. I wasn't eating well because my body was literally in just panic mode. How, you can't eat when you're, literally think something bad's going to happen all the time, you can't relax, and it was miserable.
I love hearing your story today because it's a reminder to the moms listening out there that this doesn't have to happen with just your first child. I think a lot of people think, okay, I had my first child and I got through that, I'm okay. And this can happen, either your hormones can go crazy with a different child, they react in different ways, or it could be like that snowball turning into an avalanche. Who cares how it happens? It can happen with any child.
Right.
Before we go, is there anything that, any advice you have for listeners or just any final thoughts?
I think just, be brave, and own your feelings because you'll feel so much better when you don't have to hide it. That in and of itself was just such a relief that you don't have to pretend anymore. Now, not everyone is going to be safe, I have talked to people that did not understand and, thought since I was being honest and, that maybe I wasn't doing as well as I thought, but it was just I was being honest. But if you find your safe people and just, just talk to them and, you do the same for them and be there for each other on the days where you really need encouragement or just support, they can come over and watch the kids, give you a break. I think that is just so important.
Right. When you first were in your journey a year ago, you probably weren't going to be eager to come on the podcast. You have to wait till you're ready to tell. For me, it was definitely a leveling up, expanding. And it was the most sympathetic people I had to tell at first. And I learned the hard way, just because you email someone and tell them in there that you have postpartum depression doesn't mean they're going to ever hit the reply button and respond with something comforting.
And it's a shock to some people because I think moms a lot of times hide it. I know I did. As a perfectionist, it was I can't be feeling this, I don't need to be thinking this, I knew what I wanted to be and I was just trying to push it all away, but that's not helpful.
Do you think you also hid it from yourself?
I mean, I tried to justify it. I went to a thyroid doctor and that got dismissed. But it was I knew something was wrong. But I just didn't know what. So I went to a thyroid doctor and,
Right, the thyroid issues.
Not being that, but I wish the thyroid doctor would have said, this is probably just anxiety, but he probably has no clue about it. And it just makes me all the more want to just everyone to know about this because I shouldn't have had to struggle for as long as I did. It should have been caught when I talked about the thyroid thing and when I talked about my anxiety symptoms.
Yeah, it's awful to see. There's moms I know who it got caught really quickly, but probably because it escalated so fast for them, who are who've told me, I don't know how you, because it took me 4 months to get help, and they're like, I don't know how you did 4 months, and I'm like, 4 months? I mean, there's moms like you today, who it's two and a half, 3 years before something happens, before you're able to get help.
Sure, and I'm sure some people, are in older generations never got help, and are probably going to be realizing it very soon that that's what they've been up, that they had all these years, and that's maybe why they were the way they were as a mom.
Yes, yes.
That's so crazy to think about to me.
I think it was mostly ignored by our mother's generation. And
Just pushed it out of their mind. And
that was what they were supposed to do.
Right. But things have changed so much, and I'm just love the changes because we need to be more open about all types of people, all, you know, and not be just so judgmental because we're people too. Just, you know, I'm a normal person. I'm a college educated person, you know. It happens to everyone. I mean, there's no one safe, you know.
No, no, it's not. It's colorblind. It's education blind. It's everything blind. It is a very, very happy to embrace all people type of illness.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Nikki, thank you so much for coming on the show today. I loved having you on.
I appreciate it.
I feel like
talking to you.
There's so much that you hit on that you were just. It's like you were reading my personal journals, all the words, like all the buzzwords, like, oh yeah,
that's cool,
perfectionism and all this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So where can do you know off the top of your head where all the links are for our listeners to find you? Otherwise I can just put everything in the show notes for people.
Well, basically on Facebook you can just do a basic search for maternal mental health support. And there's a public page, which is more like about, like, information, articles, symptoms. And then I also have a private group. So if you search under groups for Facebook, maternal mental health support, and you just request to join. And that's more for, like, you know, no one will see that. You know, you can even send me private questions if you want me to post for you. Until you're comfortable, but we've had such little problems. Everyone's very non-judgmental and supportive and cautious with their words because they know these moms are so sensitive. And then we even have moms on the other spectrum that are sharing their encouragement on how far they have come and what they did that worked for them. So it's just great.
Yes, and I belong to that group, and I haven't had enough time for Facebook lately, but when I can, I try to dip in.
Oh, yeah.
That's, you know, I feel like we all have our superpowers, and one of your superpowers is running that Facebook group and being present for the moms who need you.
Oh, thank you. I enjoy it. I get a lot out of it.
Well, thank you so much for coming on the show today.
All right. Well, thank you. Maybe we'll do it again.
Thank you again, Nikki, for coming on the show. We have the show notes at ppdadventures.com, and you can find the links to Nikki's climb and her fundraising for the climb if you want to support her climb this year. And we also have links there for her Facebook group. And if you like Facebook and you like being supported by other women going through similar journeys, I highly recommend that you check it out. Postpartum depression and all maternal mood disorders are incredibly lonely and isolating. But you are not alone. You did not do anything wrong to bring this on yourself. And with proper help, you can and will make a full recovery. And I hope you are as inspired as I was by Nikki's story and that you will consider joining a climb near you. I did a climb. I've done it a couple years now, and I missed it last year, and I missed doing it. And I had my own reasons, and it was a right for my journey. It was the right thing for my journey. But if this is something that resonates with you at all, then you should totally get out there and sign up. You don't even have to lead a climb. If there isn't a climb in your area, you can just do a climb by yourself. And a climb does not have to be climbing Mount Everest. It can be a walk around the block, just taking the time to acknowledge your journey through the darkness and you're defeating the darkness, or to acknowledge that you will defeat the darkness, even if you're working on it still. And it's been such a beautiful event both times I've done it. I'm really excited to do it again this year. And I'm just going to keep talking about it because there's not enough of these events and these ways to commemorate a journey that is just such a big part of motherhood and such a common experience. And we're expected to hide and keep it a secret. But no, let's shine as much light on this as we can. All right. I could keep talking about the climb out of darkness all day, but, you know, Julian's not going to nap forever, and I do have to pick up Pippa from preschool. So I love you, and I hope you have a wonderful week.